It is hour two of the game. Mitch Fortner, Trey Coverdale, David G. Travey on Berkland. Trey, how's your summer going?
Okay. I'm tired most of it, so.
Dude, this is supposed to be your time to rest. Are you taking summer courses?
I am not, no.
Taking the summer off.
Yeah.
How many more hours do you have to go?
I would have to add it up. I think I'm like 86 overall, so.
I don't know how many you need to graduate.
120, around there.
So you need 34.
Yeah.
Be honest. Tell them what you told me.
What's this?
Tell them what you told me before we came on the air about your credits.
They're tanking, man. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
No, he told me, hey, man, I'm not even going. This is all front. I'm just telling people I'm going. Dang! He's trying to distract.
Trying to cut you off.
Uh-huh. Turn up the bed music. He can't hear anybody talking. Yeah.
He just sits at home in his basement playing the drums and listening to Kiss.
All day.
All day.
What? Michael Jackson.
Nice. Well, yes, of course. Michael Jackson is more living room music, right? Or garage music. Kiss is basement music.
Yeah. Or garage. I mean, you can
do garage too. Garage, right? You can do whatever. Garage is wild card.
Yeah.
Backyard is backyard country. That's where the backyard music is.
Back porch. Sitting on the back porch, cold beer in a...
Actually, country is for the driveway.
That's where you soul music, so you can, you know, enjoy nature, listen to some Stevie Wonder, unwind a little bit.
Oh. Looking for the evening girl, the heading down the window.
There you go, Otis.
What's for the bathroom? What's bathroom music?
Nickelback.
I was going to say Salt and Pepper Push It, maybe.
What's kitchen music?
Oh, you know what? I love cooking to music, and I don't, there anything goes. A little bit of oldies never hurt either. A little bit, you know what I mean?
Some jazz, a little Count Mason.
A little jazz ain't bad, because you're like, ooh, I'm getting fancy on this spaghetti. You're like, ooh, throw a little spice in there. What do we got? Yeah, lemon pepper. Why not?
I was listening to an Artie Garbage podcast, and one of the guests was saying that when he and his wife cook, and it's like Mexican food or, you know, Italian food or Chinese or whatever they're making that day, they like to listen to that country's music while they cook. And I'm like, you know what? That's a hell of an idea. That's classy.
That is pretty classy.
Talk about a way to class up your trashy life. Just by putting on some Spotify, listening to some Richie Valens or something.
What's funny?
Or some Selena.
Dude, now that's classy. That's the epitome of class. Throw on some Selena. Go ahead. I like that. But I'd be like, oh, okay, we're making Chinese tonight. And then you throw on like traditional Chinese music, but it's like people in China are like, we don't eat that. We don't eat orange chicken. That's not something I eat ever, friend. If you want to go authentic, you know, eat what they eat.
Trey, when you order out, what's your go-to?
Like,
your
what's
college
my
kid?
Favorite thing ever?
Yeah, what's your college kid go-to takeout?
Nachos, anywhere.
Oof.
Nachos?
Yeah.
From anywhere?
Well,
an odd answer.
You think so?
Yes. To-go nachos?
Nachos are the best, especially chicken nachos.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but...
Okay, let me tell you something. Taco Casa, remember Taco Casa?
That was the best nachos.
Their nacho platter to go
was so good.
There was an internal email sent. They go, if somebody orders that nacho platter to go, you go ham on that baby. They would load it up, meat, cheese, jalapenos. They put all the stuff, the beans in there, and you just get to rocking and rolling, baby. There's not those nacho platters. That was the
bomb. Were good, yeah.
That was the blast.biz, if you ask me.
Do you remember Taco Tico?
Oh, yeah, come on, yeah.
I only know of that because of Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show.
Sure.
That's the only reason I know what that is.
Taco Tico.
Well, you know, Richard Christie and I are good friends, and we got into a big conversation about that one time. And he is a big fan of the quesadilla.
Ooh-wee.
And I said I was not a big fan of their quesadilla. and we didn't see each other for a week because he ate the burrito and he was out for a week.
Whoa.
Oh, boy.
That's what happens. But there used to be a Taco Tico here.
Yes.
And I remember they used to make a mean, when I was like 6 years old, a mean tortilla and cheese.
Ooh-wee. Because you know what's funny? That is a wholly underrated food for a homemade. If somebody, even like a homemade tortilla with butter in it is amazing.
What?
Oh, baby. Whew. My grandma used to make, like, she'd make a whole batch of homemade tortillas, and then she'd throw some butter in there and wrap, like, roll it up and hand it to you. And it, they, like, the tortillas would be so fresh, there'd be flour on your fingertips. That's how fresh they were. But a tortilla with a little butter in it, man.
I've had that with, like, cinnamon on it, too. Oof. Butter and cinnamon.
I mean, it's just like bread and butter. You know, bread and butter.
It's not the same.
It's kind of the same
thing. It's not the same.
It's a little bit the same.
Like butter on a piece of white bread, it's way different than a tortilla. I would never think of putting butter on a tortilla.
You should. You should definitely do that. I mean,
the
juices
in the grease from the meat and beans and whatever else is plenty.
No, like not a tortilla with meat and beans on it already.
But
just a tortilla.
I thought you were looking like fresh, lube this thing up.
Like a fresh tortilla that's been heated on the placa.
In other words, you're turning it into double fried.
No. What are you guys?
That's the same thing. Use butter, fry it up.
What are you drunk? Like, listen.
I think you're the drunk one.
It's a tortilla that's been on the placa, right? It's like warm. It's a warm tortilla. And you just put a little butter on it, and you roll it up and just eat it. And it's fantastic. Much like what I was going to say is, sometimes you put a little butter on some bread, and you go, you know what? This ain't bad. Just a simple bit bread and butter. That's our bread and butter.
I've had tortillas with Nutella and strawberries on it before, too.
Get out of the studio.
Oh, that's a deal breaker for you now?
Strawberries and Nutella, I would say, yeah, that's, what are we, crazy?
I was barbecuing with a friend in Topeka, and he's in, like, an apartment complex, and there's, like, his neighbors joined us, and his neighbor brings over a thing of tortillas, and we're eating hot dogs, and he wrapped it up in a tortilla. He's like, hey, listen, every food is better when you have a tortilla with it. I'm like, but hot dogs? Would you put ketchup on a tortilla?
Butter
on it.
I
so want to sure
say
you
something
would.
That I don't want this to be offensive. What kind of Mexican American are you that you've never had a hot dog with a tortilla? I mean, that's like a thing.
Listen, I've done weird things when it comes to cooking a hot dog. I've once used a hot dog bun to eat a hamburger. Never have I once thought, man, I am in a jam. But I have some tortillas. I have a hot dog. I can make a meal out of this.
Yeah. Oh.
No, never. The tortilla is usually way too big for the hot dog anyway.
You notice the guy with German and British heritage is keeping his mouth shut over here.
Why don't you slap some sauerkraut on it or something?
Yeah, go drink your warm beer.
Sit this one out, Covert Ale. Oh, my God. I'm learning quite a bit right now. Dude, heating up a tortilla and then putting anything in there is just fantastic. I mean, like, a sausage? Would you put a sausage link in a tortilla?
Probably not.
Wow. Like, scrambled eggs and sausage?
I mean, come on.
It's a breakfast burrito.
Well, okay, fine, yes. I mean, if you're making a breakfast burrito out of it, but just like a sausage link in a tortilla?
Yeah.
You're wasting a tortilla.
Dude, you...
Pack it full of goods, wrap it up, and chow away.
Dude, what if you just don't have all the goods?
But if you're putting just a piece of food that takes up 3% of a tortilla, you're wasting a tortilla.
I don't buy those big ones. I don't buy the big, like the littler ones are. I'd rather have a tiny little tortilla if I'm store buying.
And I'm
tortillas.
Not like a big fan of, like, when it comes to, like, tacos. Like, I'd much rather do a burrito. Like, you maximize. I mean, you're using the full tortilla when you go burrito or enchilada. Mm. But when it comes to tacos, and you're basically using 20% of the shell, and the rest is a handle.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you carrying? Hey, a little burrito. I made me a little burrito. I got a little handle.
Dave, spaghetti tacos, yay or nay?
No!
Come on, that's pretty good.
Now, I wouldn't. I would mess with some spaghetti tacos.
Dude, what the hell?
That actually doesn't sound too bad.
I just had this image of the emergency tortilla. Break in case of emergency.
What do we don't have anything. Oh, yeah, yes, we do. Just wipe the glass off of there real quick.
So you're telling me there's nothing off limits when it comes to what you would put in a tortilla?
No. No. What was spaghetti? I probably wouldn't try that. But my thing is, like, a tortilla, like, a lot of times it comes in handy when you only have a couple things. It's perfect. Like, if you only have... If you open the freezer and you got some sausage links in there, and then you got a little bit of cheese or something, and then you got a tortilla but no bread, you're like, perfect, I'll do that. I think a tortilla is versatile. It's perfect. And, yes, a little butter in a freshly made tortilla. But I can see if you only do store-bought, if you don't have any like homemade tortillas, and you only have those thin little Mama Lupe tortilla, that doesn't taste, because to me those are too thin. They're not thick. Like, a homemade tortilla is thick, you know, and like chewy. But a Mama Lupe, shout out to her, those are paper thin. But I still would wrap a little sausage link in there. Hell yeah.
Travion, pull this segment. I want to submit it for a KAB. When we get done, we need to get those in. And it's a fresh segment.
Forget about KAB. We're going to win the United States AB, dude, with this one. Wait. Do you heat up your tortillas before you eat them, or do you just grab them out of the refrigerator, throw them, and eat them?
Oh, I heat them up.
Okay.
This is an amateur hour.
Dude, I was 8 years old. And someone took me to Taco Bell for the first time ever. Also, shout out to Taco Hut and Baby Bowls. Remember that place? That place was awesome. And I ate a bit into a tortilla, a soft shell tortilla, and I was like, I go, what? This tortilla's cold. And everybody was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. They don't heat up their tortillas here? And they're like, no, you psycho. I didn't know that people ate cold tortillas. My mind was blown. But now I can eat a cold tortilla.
By the way, have either of you paid attention to the fight between Taco John's and Taco Bell?
No way.
Oh, yeah.
In Manhattan or
just? No, just in general.
The franchise is jousting?
Oh, hell yeah.
It turns out Taco John's has trademarked and has held a trademark since the 80s on Taco Tuesday.
No!
You're kidding.
And so Taco Bell has LeBron doing commercials regarding...
Because he did Taco Tuesday on his like Snapchat or whatever.
Exactly.
It was.
Shout out to Taco John's to lock that up. And they've had it forever.
Yes.
That was the most genuine shout out we've had.
Shout out to him. I knew I always liked him.
Taco John's, they can see down the road. They go, this is really going to work for us.
I underestimated Taco John's. I always saw them as a follower. Turns out they're trailblazers. Not only have they coined Taco Tuesday, I think they've perfected the tater tot.
Absolutely. The ole, you mean? Oh, man. They're like the guy, what's that guy? Tesla, where he invented like electricity.
No, real Tesla.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Elon Musk is the guy who comes in much like Edison and just takes all the ideas from everybody else.
That's what it is. Taco Bell is Edison and Taco John's
is Nikola Tesla.
Is Nikola Tesla. It's kind of weird where you're like, are you sure? But they're like, no, that was the first one. You're like, I don't know. And they came in, they stole it, they got LeBron. Wow. Like they get Taco Bell gets LeBron. I would expect Taco John's to get someone like mid-tier, like Jamal Murray would be. You know what I mean? Like, not just him.
Which works because they're a Cheyenne-based company.
I've never seen a Taco John's commercial in my life.
That's true. Okay, wait a second.
I still can't get over DG spitting out a cold tortilla.
Oh, my God.
And a Taco Bell. That's hilarious. Eight-year-old DG probably throwing Diablo packets.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this is before they even had packets. You know, this was when it was like fluorescent green in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Like, what the hell are you trying to do? Poison me, boy? And they're like, what? Dude, what? Cold tortilla. And no one knew what was going on. Everyone was very embarrassed by me.
It looked like you're in a desert where you're hallucinating the colors.
Where am I? You're south of the border. Welcome to Taco Tuesdays. Little did they know. That's trademarked, fool.
So I hope we still have time to get to Naquan Tomlin.
Is he going to come back or what?
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. Details coming up next. Okay, so not to fall down another rabbit hole.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is a sports talk show.
No.
Well, it is sports. So, Naquan Tomlin coming back. That's, you know, it's what we expected. Coming back for one more year. After this year, he'll be a lottery pick. That's what we hope. So, I got on his profile, and I didn't notice this until now. I don't know if Tom had done this, had this like at the beginning of the year, but I noticed that he has been putting like middle names in their bios. And Naquan's automatically stood out.
Yes!
Naquan Tomlin's full name is Naquan Tommy Nicholas Tomlin.
Okay.
Dude.
Nicholas happens to be family middle name in my family.
Nice.
My brother and his son, in honor of my grandfather.
Real English-German thing to do, by the way.
Yes.
I think it's a little strange, though, honestly, to go from Naquan to Nicholas Tommy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just expect...
It doesn't flow.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. You expect... I want another Naquan-esque name there.
Well, how about this? For Marquise Noel... It's Marquise Morris Noel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was the best of the Morris twins.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Morris.
Marquise Noel. Morris.
Let's see Noel. Who else. Let's see what David Gasson has. David Mark Yappy. Y-A-P-Y.
Okay.
Gasson.
A lot of people are ashamed of their middle names, but
I don't speak Dutch. Yeah. I probably butchered it.
Call us up, David Gasson. Explain that.
I'm just going down the roster here. Tyke Karen Green. I'm sure it's not Karen. It's something else.
No, Karan.
Karan. It's K-A-R-O-N.
That is amazing.
Cam Carter is just Cameron Carter. There's no middle name there. Keontae Johnson. We're just going in numerical order here. Keontae Johnson. Scroll all the way down. Oh, Keontae is his middle name.
Whoa, what? No way. His first Rufus.
Man, I should have hit the breaking news button on this one.
Oh, boy.
It's Marcus Keontae Johnson.
Aw. That's amazing.
M-A-R-R-E-C-U-S.
Whoa.
That's why I switched to Keontae. That's easier to spell.
He's like struggling through the... He's like, listen, I'm not going to explain how to spell this my whole life.
Should we keep going?
Yeah.
Anthony Thomas. Anthony DeMario Thomas. I like the name DeMario.
DeMario's a great
name. That's a sweet name.
It's a fantastic name.
Desi Sills is...
Desi.
Desi, Deontra, Arnaz, or Arnaz, Sills.
Okay, so...
Double middle name.
Wait a minute. Stop. Arnaz? No way.
Arnaz.
Stop. Wait a minute.
Arnaz. It's A-R-N-A-Z.
Okay. Desi, Deontre, Arnaz. Desi Arnaz.
Mm-hmm.
I Love Lucy.
Yeah, you put it together.
Okay, so Desi Sills is going to come beat me up because I'm like, I Love Lucy.
Taj is Taj Amir Manning.
Nice. That's a really nice name.
You know, for a PA, like announcing his name, I think I'd go, I'd rather have announce Amir Manning.
Yeah, that's
I'd have a little bit more fun with that, I think.
Really cool.
Jarrell Colbert is Jarrell Micah Colbert.
Hmm.
Pretty, feels like pretty traditional there. Nate Aubrey, oh boy, here comes a buy me Isiola. Nate Aubrey, Nate's middle name doesn't is not listed for a buy me Isiola. Doesn't isn't listed.
His siblings' names,
by the way,
are crazy.
Congratulations!
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's now a citizen of the United States.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That a few days ago, right? At least.
Yes.
Dorian Finister is Dorian Jerry Finister. That's a name you don't hear a whole lot anymore with our generation. No. Jerry.
Not a lot of Jerry's or like Eddie's. Not a lot of Eddie's.
Ish Masood, his name isn't listed. We got one more, Peyton Ackerman, who's no longer a cat. Peyton Matthew Ackerman. So there you go.
Abayomi means my enemies tried to mock me and God wouldn't allow it in Nigerian.
Oh, my God.
That's the coolest
That's
thing
That's the
ever
coolest. Yes.
Also, his first name also means bringer of happiness in Egyptian. To have a name that means something in Egyptian, you have got to be cool. You really have got to be cool. You got to bring it.
We should put that jersey up in the rafters just because of that.
My enemies tried to mock me and God wouldn't allow
Talk
it.
Talk about a great omen for Bramlage Coliseum.
Yeah. That's awesome. Dude.
Let me share a few thoughts here on Naquan Tomlin.
Yes.
That is Naquan Tommy Nicholas Tomlin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that Naquan
who's
Tomlin.
Who's 22.53 years old, according to his NBA draft prospect bio. So he has decided to come back, and I've seen projections from late first round to early to mid-second round. First of all, for as little of basketball that he has played, and to be potentially a first-round draft pick for the NBA is insane.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that he has come back. And I want to jump back to what we talked about with DY earlier, and that's because of Naquan Tomlin's potential. Now, we some point later down the road, we'll be able to ask him the question, what feedback did you get? And we'll get the specifics. We could probably guess on a couple of things. I mean, the kid can guard anybody, probably. Mm-hmm. He still needs work defensively, but he was K-State's best shot blocker a year ago. I mean, he had 8 blocks in the NCAA tournament. You know, his range when it comes to shooting the basketball isn't quite exactly there, like when it comes to the NBA expectations. But he can still score from all three ranges.
Yeah, it's a case of looking at a guy that you would probably put on a two-way contract with the G League and work on development as much as you could.
But I think if with one more year and where his potential is, the thing is, Naquan Tomlin is a raw player.
Mm-hmm.
So raw. His athleticism is through the roof. And I loved, like, first of all, two things that really stand out to me about Naquan Tomlin. He's one of the best dunkers I've ever seen in a K-State uniform.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
He is an incredible, emphatic dunker. Mm-hmm. And he just hammers it down every time. I love it. But I think that's another way he kind of just shows off his athleticism to get to the hoop. And he can just throw it down so thunderously. I mean, he is quite the athlete at 6'10". Quite the athlete. But it's still raw athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, this coaching staff will have him fine-tune the things he needs to. There's, I'm sure, a lot of things that the scouts like. A lot of room to grow as well. Again, he's played 4 years of organized basketball and a lot of room to grow. But there is also that when it comes to potential, there's that. But then that also thinks, I also think the expectations. If he does grow the way he can, and who knows, I mean, his potential is it could be through the roof of where he could land. I agree with DY. If he were to become a lottery pick this upcoming season, because we knew, I mean, halfway through the season, he was already being talked about like as an NBA prospect. And with his potential, I would not be surprised if he could be a top 15 draft pick. Would not surprise me, but he would need to grow. But with that growth and what K-State would need out of him this upcoming season, it probably needs to be first team, second team at the least when it comes to a player in 2023-24. Because he's now probably the returning leader of this team. Your two All-Americans are gone. Outside of those two All-Americans, you didn't have any All-Big 12 players. As a little bit of a surprise as that was, even with the honorable mentions, you didn't have anybody. It was a surprise to see, you know, like Desi Sills didn't get those honors, and Naquan as well. But those expectations are now here. Now that he's back, now that we kind of have an idea where he would have landed if he stayed in the draft, we now have an idea of potential expectations after there already has been some discussion, and you can go read about it when it comes to what scouts liked and what he needs to work on. Meanwhile, we did learn about some kickoff times for K-State football. We know four games. The opener, September 2nd, Southeast Missouri at 6 o'clock. That's a Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus. Open up the year. That's what we expected. The next Saturday, September 9th against Troy, is 11 a.m. game on FS1. September 16th at Missouri will also be 11 a.m. That'll be on SEC Network. My first thought was, gross, that sucks. Not so much 11 a.m., but SEC Network. The non-cons in SEC territory, and you got losers like Mizzou that's hosting you. Not a whole lot of places that you're going to probably put that game at that time of the year. But I also like the idea of it just absolutely embarrassing the Tigers, not only on their home field, but on their own network, their conference network. I think there's a bit of a sweet factor to that. And then October 6th, which is a Friday game in Stillwater, at Boone Pickens Stadium against Oklahoma State, 6:30 on ESPN. So for the fifth straight year, K-State will play back-to-back games at 11 a.m. As a matter of fact, once they get through the Missouri game, four of the last five games kicked at 11 a.m. because the Big 12 Championship and the Sugar Bowl kicked off at 11 a.m. I was curious to know, because I'm sure they'll upset a few people, like those that may be traveling to Columbia would rather have a 2:30 or a 6 o'clock game. Chris Klieman has won 12 games at 11 a.m. He's lost five times, 12-5 at 11 a.m. 3-0 at 1 or 1:30, 5-8 at 2 to 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock or later, 10-6. These are the ideal kickoff times. I'm not one to really complain about kickoff times ever. I used to be, but as somebody that works the K-State games, both as a public address announcer and a member of the media afterwards, I'm ready for the game to be wrapped up, my work done, get it done early. That way I can enjoy college football the rest of the day. Enjoy the primetime games. Now, with that being said, I do have some games that stand out when it comes to the Big 12. August 31st is the Thursday night for week one. And the first Big 12 team that'll be in play is UCF. They're going to take on Kent State at 6 o'clock FS1. By the way, Colorado Prime, Coach Prime got his primetime games. But for Fox, the Big Noon kickoff, he'll have back-to-back weeks. Big Noon, week two will be at Nebraska, but week one is at TCU at 11 a.m. on Fox. Also week one, West Virginia is at Penn State at 6:30 on NBC. NBC's cool, but Mountaineers, you're playing at Beaver Stadium at night.
Oof.
That's going to be a bloodbath.
Whoa, they're playing Penn State and Pitt, right, this season?
Penn State and Pitt.
Wow.
Yeah, in the non-con, and they're going to play at Penn State at night.
Yeah.
That's going to be a rocking environment, especially for week one.
Whoa.
And also, Texas Tech and Wyoming. That's a game at Wyoming. That's going to be a 6:30 on CBS. So K-State, or Big 12, rather, is not only playing at all time slots, they're playing in all the major channels except for ABC.
Yep.
I thought that was the weird part of it.
But even better, you know, when you look at that, those are three solid over-the-air games right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may be a bloodbath, but West Virginia might have something up its sleeve.
Week two features Iowa State Seahawks series Fox at 2:30.
A 3-2 barn burner, probably.
Can't wait. I love defense. Texas Tech week two is going to have one of their biggest non-con home games in a very long time. I have to go do some research to find out what's been the biggest, because they're going to be hosting Oregon.
Whoa!
On Fox at 6 o'clock. So you got two great back-to-back games that feature Big 12 teams. Now, what kind of stinks, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Screw that game. Screw that game. Texas and Bama is on ESPN at 6 o'clock, same time as Oregon and Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech's going to be pretty good this year.
Me too.
So I'm going to be watching Tech and Oregon. Which, you know, Texas and Alabama last year was kind of a snoozer.
Yeah.
20-19 quarterback. Oh, unnecessary roughness on the quarterback, like a late hit call on Bryce Young in the end zone. It was one of the lamest calls I remember of the year. And then you have Oklahoma State and Arizona State, FS1 at 9:30. So again, you have Big 12 in every time slot of the day. That's good.
Right on.
And then week three, you have the first Big 12 game of the year, TCU at Houston, 7 o'clock on Fox. And then I don't know why I included this, but I had Kansas, Nevada at 9:30. Maybe just to say that's more Big 12 in all the time slots, whatever.
Yeah.
Kansas go on the road and lose at in Reno? Does that happen?
Nevada,
honestly,
tough.
I doubt it.
They're a tough squad, but who's their coach? The other guy left.
Nevada, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So we got to find that out. But they're tough.
I'll let you guys work on that. When we come back, a little number one song of the day after these words. Well, that was quick.
1350 KMAN. Hey, guys. Ken Wilson, the head coach in Nevada. A very Nevada-esque head coach.
Sounds like a State Farm agent.
I've seen his poster up in Aggieville. Today, Would You Rather Wednesday. So, would you rather live in a cave or a tree house?
I'm not a bat.
Uh-huh.
I'm more of a parrot. So, let's go tree house.
Colorful and you won't stop talking, man.
I'm just trying to determine treehouse with a roof.
Okay, yeah.
Shelter from elements is the question.
I want to say this. The treehouse isn't teeny tiny like a kid's, but it's not one of those like spectacular ones you see every once in a while online where you're like, how the hell? It's in between.
Also, have you not learned?
So it can't be a Swiss Family Robinson treehouse, because that's what I would go for.
Yes.
Have you not learned your lesson from the incident in the Philippines when that cave flooded and it had that Boy Scout group trapped for 2 weeks?
Right.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that because I would have picked cave. I pick cave every time. I'm going to die. But I would discover cave drawings in there and be like a bazillionaire.
All of a sudden, you're a philosopher.
Yeah. I go, why? Yeah, that's me. I'm cave. Still cave.
Dave G with the Nobel Prize.
Look at these cave drawings. You know, and they're like, look like you drew that.
You invent something we already have, but it looks super old.
I go, I present to you the wheel. Yeah, they're like, hey, cave guy, get away from us. Would you rather have $1 million right now or $5,000 a week for the rest of your life?
$5,000.
Given the situation right now, I would take the $1 million. Thank you very much, because that would cover what needs to be covered.
I like it.
I'm going to live for a long time, and I think, you're going to make way more money than $1 million.
For sure.
Yes, invest this, invest that. Anybody can live off $5,000 a week. Easy.
You understand, though, that there's currently a GoFundMe involved in my family.
We need the mill. The hot million.
Well, no, I did not know that.
Troy Vion.
Obviously, $5,000 a week.
Obviously, I'm taking the mill to flex on both of you guys and just be like, check out my cash money.
And invest.
I think we've asked this before. Are you guys luck people? Are you into luck? Or are you like
no, like superstitious stuff, luck stuff? Yeah. You know, like do I keep a rabbit's foot around?
Yeah.
No, not really me.
When it comes to like, are you at all stupidstitious? When you're calling games for the cat, like when you're doing the PA stuff, are you you're like, I have no.
I live my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think me, like, shaving my face is going to make a difference on if Naquan Tomlin scores in double figures or not.
As I joked during the transition from D2 to D1, if it was based on my clothes, I would have had to revert to how many different forms of a uniform, essentially.
You're like, listen, it don't got nothing to do with me. Now I know who to blame when we lose.
Yeah, there you go.
You too.
Mm-hmm. So I used to be superstitious. Remember the game, and I hate to bring up this nightmare, but when Taylor Martinez ran all over us, the 2010 Nebraska game, the last time we played him in football.
Yeah.
So I shaved that day, and I had it in my head that if I shave on game day, quarterback's going to run all over us.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
So I put a halt to that for a few years.
Oh, what were you trying to do there, dude? Ah, God.
I'm more into fate than luck. I think fate That's is another something thing. That happens.
Fate, you know.
Everything happens for a reason.
It was fate I'm not that a big believer in that.
You know, there's a thing called a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or things just happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there's a reasonable explanation instead of just saying it was fate sometimes.
Or luck, just straight luck, bounce of the ball. I'm in the luck. I got a four-leaf clover in my pocket every day, baby. That's why I came back, to spread the luck, not the love, the luck.
You met your girl at Walmart. She was returning a spice rack. You were halted by the guy at the door because your receipt didn't quite add up.
That's fate.
Yeah, okay. We're out. Go Cats.